Okay, we decided we just wanted to start preaching slightly earlier this morning. Wendy's going to come and join now. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at, it's a one-off week, really, in quite a strange book in the Bible called Song of Songs. In some ways, it's part of the full five books of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And they make a lot of sense with one another. But on its own, you can sometimes think, oh, that's a bit of a racy book. And again, if you know, you know. And if you're new to church, maybe read it at some point and you'll see what I'm talking about. Wendy's going to share just some three key points in there. And we really felt we want to take this morning as an opportunity for people to be prayed for and respond in their personal encounters with Jesus. Our whole of our ministry team turned up this morning and with Clive were saying, we want to pray for people today. We want people's hearts to return back to God. We want to give time for people to be able to not feel rushed at the end of a meeting. We say, no, I long to meet and encounter him today. So as Wendy shares just during a preach, your heart may be stirred to say, I need to respond to some of this. And we're going to give opportunities, whether it's at the end of the preach, we might even pause during the middle of the preach, say, actually, I think God's doing something here. The Holy Spirit's touching on something in our personal lives. And we want to be those that are open to what God wants to do in and through us. If you really feel that, hey, I'd like to know a bit more about that book, Song of Songs, we've got a few copies of this wonderful book. A lot of this preach has come out of this that me and Wend read recently. It's called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. It's a brilliant little reflection on the whole book, Song of Songs. And it just gives a real overview of what God's heart is for rescuing us and drawing us to himself. So Wendy's going to do a great job with this. I'm going to get down, stop talking, and I'm going to pass over to Wend. Why don't you give her a big welcome?
Right, wow. I'm feeling through the worship just so overwhelmed, totally off piece at the moment, of just how God is good and how we worship an alive God. In our prayer meeting before the meeting, the Holy Spirit was so there, so exciting. Like, through the worship, I just felt like I might not even be able to speak this morning. Like the presence of God is here. Isn't it good that we worship a God that's alive? We're not worshiping some dead statue somewhere that does nothing. We're worshiping a living God. And as I've been preparing this talk, I really, really feel and feel really passionate this morning that God is going to break into every heart this morning. I don't want it to be like, wow, Wendy spoke so lovely this morning, but didn't God break in? I don't want to be standing here getting any praise. Don't come and tell me anything. I want it all to be about Jesus because Jesus is so good. And today I want to talk about this God who is on a pursuit, on a hunt for you. Every single one of you. He's on a pursuit for you this morning. His love is oozing out, dripping, ready for you this morning. And I want every single person, wherever you're at on your walk with God, to go away knowing that, that deepness of God's love this morning. So though I'm picking up three bits that I've got from the Book of Song of Solomon, but it's quite a complicated book, and you'll be pleased to know I'm not going down some of those verses that some of you might know about. But there's a thread that I just saw as I read this book about God's pursuit for you. And my first point this morning is an interesting one. We've just sung some songs, haven't we? We sing songs if we come to church about Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, yes, I love you, Jesus. Oh, your love is so good. And we could be here this morning really, really believing that. We've become a Christian, we're following Jesus, we love Jesus, we believe that truth, but we're also people in a crowd, that we're here this morning, and that truth is just for us. Yeah, I believe Jesus died for the world. I believe Jesus died for us. But today, the lights are off, and that spotlight is just on you. Not everyone, just you. And do you now believe it? Do you now believe that God is saying he died and he rose again and he loves just you? That's challenging, isn't it? Yeah, we can believe God's good, that of course he would die for everyone. Of course he loves us. But are we here today with that intimacy of knowing that it's just you? Just you. It's all gone quiet. Just you this morning. And that's interesting, isn't it? And the book of Song of Songs is a book that is so intimate, sometimes a little bit too intimate, but it's a very intimate book that's very personal about God saying he loves you. He's on a pursuit hunt for you. And the character in chapter 1, says verse 5, starts these sort of doubts, but goes, oh, but I'm dark. And they start questioning, well, I'm different. Like, why would someone want to be pursuing me? Why does this love come as far as me? They're embarrassed. And in verse 6, they say, oh, don't stare at me. Don't stare. And it kind of reminded me of a story in the Gospels where Jesus is walking, there's a crowd. And people in the crowd have no doubt, they believe that Jesus can heal. They believe that Jesus has this power to do things. But they're a crowd. And in amongst the crowd, there's a woman who's been bleeding for many years. She's embarrassed. She doesn't doubt that God can heal her. But she's embarrassed. She's happy to be amongst this crowd. And as Jesus walks through, she reaches out and touches him because she knows that he can heal her. And he does. But Jesus doesn't leave her hidden in a crowd. He stops and he says, who's touched me? Because Jesus knows. Jesus can feel. Jesus sees. And he finds her. And when we're in these places where we're happy to be in the crowd, yes, God loves us. Today, I really want to home it in that that light is just on you and God is saying, he loves you. And this is what he's saying over you. In verse 15, it says, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Verse 3, he talks about how he's a tree. It's a hot day and he's providing this shade, this protection over the heat. My favorite one is verse 8. It says he comes leaping across mountains, bounding over hills like a gazelle or a stag. And I'm quite a visual learner, so I sort of had a little look online for some pictures. And a gazelle and a stag, they're big, strong animals. And they're also elegant. And you can watch, I mean, I watched it for quite a while on YouTube, this stag just leaping over hills. What grace, what perfection, what strength. And that's how God is describing his pursuit for you this morning. He's not like I guess I'll get you on board. He has purpose. He's seen you and he's leaping over hills to come and find you. Strong, powerful identity. He knows where he's going. And in verse 10 and 11, it says, come with me. Verse 14, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. So we've got this thing, haven't we, where God is saying, it's you, just you. I'm on a pursuit for you to love me. And we've got this God who says, come, I love you, I love you. So where's the barrier? What's stopping us? How does this not quite connect? And where I'm really feeling is it's shame, isn't it? And it goes all the way back to the first book in the Bible in Genesis. Adam and Eve, perfect relationship with God. And then shame and sin enters the world. And as soon as shame and sin enters, suddenly the fig leaves come out. Suddenly they're hiding. Suddenly they're hiding from God. And shame has entered the world. And that's where we get. God is there calling. I want to see your face. I love you, I want to be with you. And our shame causes us sometimes to be hiding in a crowd. Happy and believing God loves us, all of us, but me, really, if it was just me, do we get that intimacy? And it's our shame that can make us hide. I know I became a Christian when I was 19, and there are things that still torment me in my sleep sometimes, in my daydreaming, where the shame creeps in. Did I really do that? Does God really forgive me for that? Does God really want me because I did that? My mistakes that I've made, some of the shame sometimes since I've been a Christian, some of the gossip I get involved in at work or some of the things that I'm just not proud about. That shame can just surround me and have doubts that God really does love just me. And then we have to go back to the truth in the Bible, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, he died for you, for every single thing that you have done and will do and will forever do wrong, because nothing can separate us from his love. And so that's my first point today. Some of us might be just hidden in that crowd, not really believing that God would put the spotlight just on you and say, it's you. And so today, as we come at the end for some ministry time, if you know that you don't know, if you in your heart of hearts understand that, feel that, really believe that you and God, it's intimate, it's you and God, then we'd love to pray for you. We'd love for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal that truth to you this morning. So the second point that I've picked up, we're moving on to chapter 3 in Song of Songs. And so the characters suddenly realise, all right, yep, all right, he loves me, this is good, I love, this is exciting. And they start to go looking for their lover, the beloved. And all of a sudden, they can't find him. And they're looking and looking, and they're like, where is my beloved? Where has he gone? I don't know where he is. And this hit home because we are in a world where there is sickness and there is pain and there are horrible things going on in different lives around the world and in our own lives. And we believe God is there and we can accept this pursuit of love, but it can feel a bit dark and it can feel a bit like, God, where are you? Like, what is going on? How can a God really be pursuing me where I feel so alone, I feel so in darkness? Like, God, what's going on? And this is where chapter 3 starts. The character is looking, going, well, I'm okay. I believe that you're my beloved. I believe you're chasing me, but where are you? I can't find you. And it says in verse 2, I will search for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but I did not find him. And this always sticks with me because it always makes me chuckle when I go on a plane. But I remember reading in a book by Terry Virgo, and he said the first time he got on an aeroplane, it was a dark, typical British day, miserable, overcast. And then as he went through the clouds, suddenly the sun was there, like blazing sun, had to turn the little window down. And he said to his wife something like, oh, the sun's out here. And she laughed and said, it's always out above the clouds. And it's been one of those things that stuck with me because the sun is always there. It is always there. If you've ever been on a plane, as soon as you get through the clouds, the sun's there. It's never not there. The sun is always there. But what stops it coming and giving us a nice sunny day in England? Clouds. Just blocking the sun from our rays. And that can be one of the reasons why those dark patches hit us. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we allow clouds to come and block God because we are looking the wrong direction. Maybe we're doubting God. Maybe we put strength in what we think we know best. Well, I know it says this in the word, but I'm going to do this because I'm right. And those clouds can block. There are things, and again today, I really feel there's some people here who need to repent. There are things that you have put in your life that have blocked your relationship with God. And it's not like we need to put condemnation on that, because God's good. We just need to say sorry. We need to come before our loving God, who is on a pursuit for you today, saying, I'm sorry, I want to remove those clouds this morning. Because in verse 3, they find God. They find their beloved. It says, I found my heart's love and I held him and I would not let go. And that made me think of another thing that might be going on. So sometimes we put clouds in the way, but sometimes it's one of those things where we're not God, so we can't fully understand, but there are definitely situations that God allows us to go in. And we don't know why. And when we go through them, They're painful, they're horrible, you can cry, it's frustrating, it doesn't make any sense. But sometimes God allows us to go to those things so that we can see him in a different light, so we can cling to him, that when he turns up, we hold on to him, that we have a deeper intimacy with him, that we never want to let go. And we have that visual of like a kid holding onto its dad's leg or whatever as it's dragging along the floor, like we do not want to let go of God. And sometimes we have to go into those places to come out into a heart where we don't want to let go of God. And sometimes in those places, we do grow in a deeper sense of compassion for things, a greater understanding who God is. But it's hard. And I think today, I'd love to pray. I know our ministry team today would love to pray. If you are going through a situation and it feels like, God, where are you? We would love to pray today. Because I know I've gone through, I've seen friends who have gone through these situations, and we pray and pray and pray, and it feels like God isn't answering. God isn't in that situation. God, what are you doing? And it's painful, it's tough, it's hard. Doesn't feel there's any purpose, doesn't feel there's any sense to it. It's hard. But as Ollie said at the beginning, the Song of Songs is a book of wisdom. And another book of wisdom, the one before, Ecclesiastes, famous chapter, chapter 3, and it talks about there is a time. There's a time for uprooting, time for searching, time for tearing down, time for weeping. God doesn't say there isn't going to be those times. And we don't understand what God is doing sometimes. But we need to choose to believe that God is in control. We've got to believe the truth that the Word of God says that God loves us, is in control, and he's on a pursuit for us. He loves us this morning. And Psalm 23, lots of us might know this, quite a famous psalm, and talks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the bit that really stands out time and time and time to me is we're in this dark place, and then the next bit says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So God doesn't take us out of the shadow of death, but he comes and meets us there, which is hard. What we really want is God to pick us up and take us to a place full of joy and happiness and fluffy bunnies or whatever it is. But instead, he leaves us in this place, but not on our own. So sometimes we are in those places where we're going, God, where are you? But God promises that he's going to come and meet us. And not only meet us, but he's going to make us prepare a table. He's going to come and be with us, and he's going to anoint your head with oil, and your cup will overflow. You will see a different side of God in those tough situations. And what happens next? Chapter 4, verse 1. How beautiful are you, my darling, he says. Verse 7, altogether beautiful, no flaw in you. Verse 9, you've stolen my heart. How delightful is your love. And what I really want to get across is that God isn't manipulative. There's so many series, films, real life, where in this situation it's mind games, it's trickery, it's someone having more power and authority. That isn't God. God is not playing mind games. He is not manipulating, hiding, laughing behind a bush. It's all about his pursuit of love for you. Everything God does is because he wants you to see him for who he is and how much he loves you. And this point's hard, because if you're in that shadow of darkness, if you're struggling today, there aren't always answers. Where is God? We can't always feel we can find him. But we do need to believe that God's in control. He has a plan, and he is pursuing his love for you today. The last point I want to get across is from chapter 5. And if I'm honest, this was the most challenging for me in my current status at the moment. And it was interesting, there was a word in the prayer meeting this morning that as David was sharing it, I was like, Wow, God, you're doing something this morning, because this is exactly the point I wanted to get across. So I'll come back to that. So this chapter, chapter 5, she's found him. They're beloved, she's all happy with the beloved, all going well. And I'm just going to read from verse 2. I slept by my heart, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. I have taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I have washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My lover puts his hand through the latch opening. My heart begins to pound for him. And I'm someone who, I often make my kids laugh, because when I'm reading the Bible, it's all very visual, and I'm going, how does that work? And like, what's going on? And so when I read this, it made me chuckle, because every now and then when I can be bothered, I'm not that religious with it, but I like to have a nice sort of downtown before bedtime where I put a face mask on and sort of like do a bit of moisturiser and that sort of stuff, and sort of take my time getting ready for bed. So I'm there with my face pack on, I've got my cucumber in, I'm just relaxing, letting the night go on. I've got my nice comfy pyjamas on. We're a bit tight of money sometimes, so the heating, it's freezing, so I'm in the duvet, snuggled up, I'm not getting out of bed, I'm warm, my face feels good now, I'm ready to take the night, I'm going to sleep. And then the thought of someone knocking at the door, like, I'm not getting out of bed, I'm like, no thank you, do you not know what I have done this evening? My face is feeling smooth and soft, my eyes are ready for bed, my pyjamas are on, my warmth is in this nice cuddly duvet, I'm not answering that door, no, I'm not doing it. And so when we read in chapter 5 that the beloved is knocking, I don't know, I had a little look, and these are nice pictures, aren't they? It took me a while to find things like this. But when I Googled, don't hand through the door, I didn't get these images, first of all. The images we got were horror movie, like really scary hands trying to break through the door. I don't like horrors. They were quite scary pictures. And I was thinking, oh gosh, I definitely wouldn't get out of bed for a horror movie hand trying to ease its way through the door. But actually, what is this saying? Like verse 3, this person's moaning, aren't they? Just like I am. I have taken off my robe. I can't put it back on again. Wash my feet. I don't want to get out of bed and wash them again. I just don't want to do it. And God's trying to pursue us, and we're being a little bit lazy, little bit content. Excuses, excuses, excuses. But actually, with that picture, with the light coming through the door, something coming, breaking out, that's why God isn't willing to just knock, but he wants to open the door, because we've already invited Jesus in. And when we invite him in, we got to be reminded sometimes of how good God is. And we can get a bit caught up in ourselves, can't we? Well, I've done me. My plan's fine. Life's good. If I have to get out of bed, life could get messy. It could get cold. Ultimately, I can't be bothered. I just want to be where I am. I don't really want to do what you're asking me to do, God. And the word in the prayer meeting this morning was about a thermostat. And it made me think, yeah, when you sit in a car and you get your thermostat onto the perfect temperature and you're comfortable. It's nice, isn't it? Our Mini, not so much. It's quite old. Who knows if you're going to get hot air, cold air, if it even turns on. It isn't comfortable, but it gets me quicker to places because I don't want to be stuck in that car. And actually, I feel today God wants to turn that thermostat on some of us. Some of us are coasting. Some of us are very comfortable. We love Jesus. We know Jesus loves us. And we're all snuggled up. And Jesus is saying, hey, what about that I told you I wanted you to do? Or what about going there? What about that person? What about that? And we're like, maybe God, but I'm quite happy, quite content, quite sort of tucked up in bed, not willing to necessarily go. And what I really like about this story is that He's knocking, the beloved is knocking, giving us a choice. What are you going to do? You're going to stay in bed with your nice face pack on, duvet up. You're comfortable. You're staying there? Or are you wanting more? Are you wanting more of me? And this door knocking scenario reminded me of Alpha. And on Alpha, Revelation 3 verse 20 comes up. And in Revelation 3 verse 20, and this is a picture that's hanging up at St. Paul's, it talks about Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And the famous question on Alpha is, oh, there's no door knocker. There's nothing for him to turn and get in. And the artist deliberately didn't do that because in Revelation 3, these people don't know Jesus. So Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to come and like bash in your house and say, choose me. So in Revelation 3, Jesus stands and knocks and says, do you want me? And some people here this morning don't know Jesus. And that knocker, Jesus is there knocking at the door saying, come, I love you. I want you this morning. I need you. I want you to be part of my plan. I want you to understand how much I love you, how much I pursue you this morning. Others have already let Jesus in. Jesus has knocked in your life, maybe last week, last year, 20 years. You know Jesus. You've let him in. And so Song of Songs is pushing it to that final step of that intimacy because you have a door. Do you have a door lock? Jesus has a lock into your heart because you said yes. So yes, the beloved is knocking, but the next step in Song of Songs is his hand is going through the door. And not as a horror movie, not as a forceful entry, run for your life, screaming, but as that door opens, a reminder of who he is, of the love he wants to share, that light that wants to pour into your life and open up and reveal. And so just to finish really, we're going to get the band up and we're just going to have a really good time. We're in no rush this morning for God to do some work with you guys. Okay, so there will be some people here who point one stuck with where you're thinking, yeah, I know Jesus, but I'm happy for it to be a whole crowd thing. That intimacy of thinking it's just me and God, that's quite hard. I don't know if I really feel it's just me and God. We'd love to pray for you. Point two, some of you are in that dark place where you're going, God, where are you? I want to believe you're pursuing me, but I just don't know where you are. We'd love to pray into those situations. And the third point is, well, there's two ways, isn't there? Some of you are at the place where Jesus is knocking at your heart, knocking at your door this morning, and you have never let him in. We'd love to pray for you to know who Jesus is. We've got our first Alpha on Wednesday. Come along, let's find out. Let's have those questions together. It'd be great. But also, for a lot of us, we've been Christians for a while. Are we too content? Do we need to suddenly get an extra lot of Holy Spirit this morning to remind us that God is on a pursuit for you? He wants to pour out more of his love, remind who he is this morning for you.
Wonderful.